Good evening, everybody. It's a blessing to be back with you again tonight. And thank you all for coming out. If you would open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And tonight we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. We're in the midst of a study about becoming disciples. And what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? We talked last night about being careful who you follow. There's a lot of people leading people astray in this world. And so we need to be careful who our teacher is. And knowing that Jesus is merciful, that Jesus is faithful, that Jesus is trustworthy, that Jesus is kind, that Jesus is good, gives us every reason to trust in Him as our teacher. Tonight, though, what we're going to start doing and what we're going to start to look at over the next couple of days together is what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And what, how should that affect the way that I live and the way that I think and the way that I walk and the way that I talk? So in this lesson, in this first lesson, I'd like to look with you for a few moments about learning from the teacher. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, which is our theme verse, Jesus says that a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. And that's kind of our theme verse that we're looking at today. So in this session, I want to just talk about this concept of being a learner and learning from the teacher. So with that in mind, let's begin reading in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And before we do that, why don't we pray together? God, as we open up your word now and we discuss it together tonight, we pray that you would teach us, that you would guide us, and that we would be learners, not just tonight, but every day and every night, that we would be lifelong learners of you, about you and about who you are, so that we can become more and more like you day by day. Help us now as we read your word together. May we understand it, may we comprehend it, may we hear it carefully, and may we be not forgetful hearers, but effective doers of your word. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up within it, and it choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, received it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." And Jesus answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." The word of the Lord. We're going to talk for a few moments about learning from the teacher. And I want us to think about three things here together as we discuss in this hour this concept of learning from Jesus, our teacher. First, I want us to look at the calling to become learners. We're going to talk about that calling to become learners and what the call of discipleship really is. Secondly, I want us to look at some of the hindrances to learning. What are some of the things that keep us from learning as we ought to learn? And then finally, we'll talk a little bit about the key to being a learner, the key to learning and becoming a disciple who learns. First, let me just say this at the beginning. When Jesus called people to become disciples, he was calling them to become learners. In fact, the word disciple comes from a word that we also get the word math from. It has to do with the idea of thinking or the idea of learning. And so that's important for us to understand, because when Jesus says a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he's fully trained will be like his teacher, he's calling them to come and study him. He's calling his disciples to come and become students of him. And not just as you might think about students of a subject or students of a course or students of some particular topic that they might be learning, but they are to come and become students of him, students of Jesus. And so to become a disciple is in fact to become a lifelong learner. That is to say, none of us will ever outgrow the work of discipleship. We'll never get to the point where we've arrived at what it means to be a disciple. We will never be a perfect disciple until we are perfected with him, when we are with him on the last day. So this is important to understand. When I chose to become a Christian, when I chose to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, I was choosing to become a student. And maybe that's kind of a hard thing for some of us. Some people love being students and they love going to school and they love studying. Other people, maybe that wasn't your thing. But if you think about this, most people that I know, and I was a teacher for a while, most people that I've known who were students who hated learning, if you pressed them on it, and you really pressed them on it, there were at least some subjects, maybe just one subject, that if you pressed them on it, they really enjoyed learning. And that's because either they had a wonderful teacher or because they enjoyed the content of that class. And I want you to think about this. When we're being called to become students, we are called to become students of the greatest teacher the world has ever known. This is not just any ordinary academic study. This is a study of the greatest teacher that the world has ever known. And that is, he is not only the greatest teacher, but this is the greatest content. This is not just stuff that will affect you and can make your life better right now. This is not just stuff that could help you, you know, get a little further in your career or live a little bit of better a little better life or have better relationships. Perhaps becoming a follower of Jesus will help you in your relationships. Perhaps it may help you in your career. In some cases, it won't. But this is far more important than that. This is life-changing. This is the kind of teaching that gives us everlasting life. And so it's important for us to appreciate that when we become disciples, we are becoming students. We are becoming lifelong learners of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think for a moment about how we learn. How do we learn from Jesus? And I realize that tonight I'm not saying anything too profound. You might, by the end of this, you might say, well, he didn't say anything but what was obvious. But I just want to remind us that sometimes the things that are most obvious are the things that we're so quick to forget. Sometimes those are the things we need to hear the most. And I think that's why Peter wrote letters saying, I'm just writing to stir you up by way of reminder. I'm just telling you about things I've already told you, but you need to hear it again. And I hope that the things that we look at tonight will stir you up as you seek to learn from the great teacher. How do we learn from Jesus? Well, first, we watch what he does. And look in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus calls the tax collector Levi or Matthew in chapter 5 and in verse 27. It says that after this he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Now it's interesting that Jesus would say to him, "Follow me." And I want you to think about the significance of that. When Jesus is calling Levi, when Jesus is calling Matthew to come and follow him, when Jesus called disciples to come and follow him, he was calling them to come behind him and walk in his footsteps and watch what Jesus was doing. That's a big part of what it meant to be a disciple, was you would study your rabbi and study how he walks and how he talks and how he acts. You would watch what he does, how he lives his life. And that's how we learn, right? I remember when I was young, I had dreams of, I watched Kentucky basketball, and I had dreams of making the NBA. Unfortunately, I didn't grow a little tall enough to have that dream come to reality. But nonetheless, I remember there was a guy when I was young, his name was Sean Kemp. And I think he actually came to the University of Kentucky and got kicked out. But he made it to the NBA, and he was a great basketball player. And I remember when I got really into basketball, I would study him. And I would watch the way that he played. I would watch the way that he dunked. And I would, on my little 4-foot goal, try to dunk like that. And I would watch the way that he shot. And I would watch the way that he moved his mouth. And the way that he would talk. And the way that he would walk. He had this strange kind of way about him. And I got his jersey, and I would wear his jersey. Why do I do all that? Because for me, at that time, Sean Kemp was a role model. Probably not a great role model. Hopefully, he's matured a little bit from his post-basketball days. But nonetheless, he was, for me, a role model. And I was trying to do I was watching everything that he did in hopes of becoming more and more like him. It ought to be that way with Jesus. It ought to be that when we approach the Word of God, we're studying Jesus. We're watching everything that He does. We're looking to see how He acts, how He walks, how He talks, how He lives, how He went about living His life on a day-to-day basis. We're watching what He does. The other thing that's important, though, and we noticed this in the parable that we just read, but I just want to stress, I just want you to see how often Luke stresses this in the Gospel of Luke, and all the Gospel writers, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, really stress this idea of hearing what he says. Not only are we watching what he does, but we're hearing what he says. Look at Luke chapter 6 and in verse 27. We'll come back to this text in the next hour to talk about love, but I just want you to notice the first line here. "I say to you who hear." That is, Jesus is calling the people who are listening him to really listen. And you know, it's possible for us to be hearing but not really hearing. You ever done that before? Yeah, I'm bad about that with my wife sometimes. I'm listening. I'm listening, honey. And then 5 minutes later, I ask her a question about something she had just told me. And she reminds me that I wasn't really listening. You know, it's possible to be hearing but not really hearing. And so Jesus, over and over again in the Gospel of Luke, calls his disciples to hear, to listen, to hear what he says in the parable that we just read in Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. Did you notice that right after he gave the parable, he said to these as he said these things, he called out, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Over and over again, Jesus is calling his disciples to learn, to listen to what he's saying, to watch what he's doing, so that they can learn from him and hear him. Another place where you see this is in Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. When there's a woman in the crowd who raised up as Jesus was talking and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." And Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It's actually not my mom, and this seems like Jesus is picking on his mom a little bit here. But Jesus' point is, it's actually the blessing is not from the womb that bore me as much as the blessing is for all who will hear God's word and keep it. So this is how we learn. We watch what he does, and we hear what he says. One other place, Luke chapter 14 and in verse 35, again, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The emphasis on hearing throughout this gospel is profound. And if we're going to be learners, we must become attentive hearers. I want you to think about this. Do you remember James talking about how some people could become forgetful hearers rather than effective doers? And I just want to say this, that this is especially dangerous for people who have been around Jesus a while, and you've heard about Jesus for a while. There's a temptation to get to the point where I get to say, "Oh, you know what? I've heard that before. I don't need to listen to that. I don't need to hear that again. I already know all these things. This isn't a new story for me." So what happens is we get to the point where I think I know that, so I don't really have to pay close attention. Well, that's not what the Hebrew writer says. The Hebrew writer says that because this law was not given to us through angels, but through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we should pay much closer attention than even the Israelites who died because they didn't pay attention to the words that God had given through the angels. So we need to be careful how we learn. Watch what Jesus does and hear what he says. And then, of course, lastly and most importantly, it's not enough to hear what he says and watch what he does if we don't practice the things that Jesus teaches us. And this is how Jesus ends that sermon in Luke chapter 6 and verse 49. The one who hears, I'll start in verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You see what Jesus is saying here? If I hear the words of Jesus and I watch what he does, but I don't actually put this into practice, what kind of a foundation have I built my house on? A foundation that's going to crumble. How we learn. We watch what he does, we hear what he says, and we practice what he teaches. Well, there's some real hindrances to learning, and I want to look with you for a moment back at the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 to kind of discuss these. What are some things that can keep us from learning from Jesus, our teacher, as we ought to learn? Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells this parable, and you probably know it well, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining the parable. But I do want you to notice a couple of things. Of course, this parable, the sower, was about a sower who goes out to throw a seed. And he's a strange sower. He throws the seed everywhere. That's not a very good farmer. But he throws his seed everywhere, and actually the text tells us that some falls along the path and was trampled underfoot, and because it's the ground is hard, the birds come up and snatch it out. In New York City, our state bird ought to be the pigeon. They are everywhere, nasty birds, and if you throw something on the ground, it won't be long before a flock of pigeon comes and just pulls that right up off the ground and eats it. And of course, many of them are eating things they ought not eat, and they die because of it. But nonetheless, that's what happens when you throw seed onto a hard ground. The birds come along and they devour it. And then there's another kind of seed that falls on the rock. And as it grew up, it withers away because it had no moisture. And then there's a third kind of seed that falls among the thorns, and it grows up. But it actually chokes out. It never actually produces any fruit, because it fell among the thorns. That is, there are too many weeds in the soil that were keeping it from being fruitful. And finally, you have the good soil, which grew and yielded 100-fold. And the difference between the good soil is that it's fruitful. So what's the purpose of this parable? Well, Jesus says that each of these soils is a kind of heart. Each of these soils is a kind of heart. And so he talks in chapter 8 and verse 12 about the first kind of heart, which is a person who hears the word, but when they've heard it, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And let me just say this, that one of the hindrances to learning is hardness of heart. Hardness of soil in my heart. That is, it's possible, and there have been times in my life where my heart has gotten so hardened to the word that I could hear something that I needed to hear, but it didn't actually impact me and it didn't actually change me. It didn't actually penetrate me and lead me to repentance as it ought to. Led me to. And I want you to think about this. This text tells us that that when you hear a word from God, you only have a limited time to receive it, to allow it to penetrate your heart, before the devil comes and snatches it away. In this parable, the birds that snatch the seed out from the soil represent Satan. And I want you to think about this. You ever heard a sermon before? You ever been reading a scripture before? And you know, you read something and you're convicted by it. And it penetrates you, and you start to realize, wow, I need to change. I can't act like that. I shouldn't be living like that. This something about my life needs to change. And then you say, you know what? I'll take care of that tomorrow. What happens tomorrow? I can't tell you how many sermons I said that about. That only woke up the next day to forget entirely that I even heard a sermon. Why? Because Satan snatches the word out of your heart. This parable tells us that we only have a limited period of time to allow God's word to penetrate our heart before our hearts become hard and the devil snatches that word away from us and it has no effect on us. You know what that means? That I better be careful how I hear. I better be careful when I hear things that ought to convict me and lead me to repentance. I better be careful to take that to heart. To not wait and put off making the changes that I need to make. Hardness of heart can hinder my learning. Look at the second seed here. And notice the second seed were the ones on the rock. And he says those are the ones who when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while. And in time of testing, fall away. Now these are the ones on the rock, and don't think about this the way I did when I was growing up, as like little pebbles in the soil. We've got a little, our yard is about the size of this table right here in Brooklyn, and we've got in that little patch of dirt, we've tried to plant some stuff, and there's these little rocks that have come, I don't know where they've come from, but it looks like somebody tried to put rocks in there, cover the dirt with rocks or something at some point, and so we keep pulling out all these little stones, but you know, if it's just little stones, a plant could work around that, but I think the picture here is more of you can go to a place where you see a thin layer of soil, but really underneath of it is bedrock. And I want you to think about it. If you plant something there, what happens? Actually, it may look really good at first. Because the seed can't really penetrate down, it may pop out of the ground quickly. It may shoot up out of the ground. And you may think, wow, this is going to be a really fruitful plant, right? But the problem is that because it has no root, because the roots are on top of the soil, when the sun comes out, the sun beats down on the roots, and the roots dry up and shrivel, and there's no moisture, and they die. And the plant dies, and it produces no fruit. And do you see the picture that Jesus is painting here? There's a kind of person who hears the word of God and receives it with joy. They're so excited about it. You know, we see this often. People hear the word and they're so excited and they want to become a Christian and they want to follow Jesus and everything is wonderful, but except for one thing. That they never actually develop real roots in the word of God. And so for a while, it seems like they're doing very well. It may be a week, it may be a month, it may be a year, it may be a decade. But eventually, the sun comes out. And the sun, in this parable, represents the trials of life, the temptations of life, when it gets hard to follow Jesus. And don't you know that if you don't have deep roots in the Word of God, that when the trials come and the temptations come, what's going to happen to you is your faith is going to shrivel up and die. So we need to be careful how we hear. This reminds me that I need to be developing deep roots in the Word of God. That is actually what's going to keep me strong when the drought comes. Because don't you know that there'll be days when it doesn't rain? When it feels like you're not... There'll be days when you're reading the Bible and it feels like you're getting nothing out of it. It feels like God is far from you. There'll be days when you're in a dry spell. And I want to tell you, if you're not deeply rooted in God's Word, days like that will mess you up bad. Especially when the trials hit and sickness comes and pain comes and rejection comes by people who loved you before, but now that you're following Jesus and looking and growing to become more and more like Jesus, they hate you and they turn against you and they hurt you. We need to be careful. And I need to be asking myself, am I developing deep roots in the Word of God? Or am I just joyfully following Jesus, trying to do what I know without continually learning? In order for me to develop deep roots in God's Word, I must continue day by day, day and night, to meditate on the Word of God. The law of the Lord must become my delight. And the only way to do that is for me to be in His law day and night. Are you in the Word of God day and night? Would you say, as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Would you say that to you the Word of God is more important even than food? Food's pretty important to us, right? We make time in our schedule for that. We set aside time to eat. Because we know that if we don't, we will become vulnerable to disease, to sickness, and even to death. Do you see the Word of God that way? Have you thought about that if you don't make the Word of God your food, that you could become vulnerable to the devil's temptations, to the trials of life? That when the sun comes up and life gets hard, you could fall apart. One of the hindrances to learning is a lack of roots that gets exposed when the deep trials come. Finally, the third soil here in verse 14 fell among thorns. And they are those who hear, but they go on their way. They're choked out by the cares or the worries and the riches and the pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. And I'll just be honest, I think this is probably the one we need to think about the most. We are a wealthy people. And the more we have, the more we have to worry about. The more possessions we have, the more we have to stress out about. The more riches we have, the more easily we're distracted from what is really important. The more tempted we are to think, we don't really need Jesus to teach me the way. I'm already doing just fine as I am. Look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my bank account. I'm doing pretty okay. And you know what happens? They're kind of like weeds in the soil. They may not, you know, when the weeds start to pop up in the soil, at first they look kind of harmless, right? I mean, it's just a weed. They're not really tearing apart the plant. But this is what happens. And I was bad about this in my younger years. My dad would kick me out of the house in the morning and send me out to the garden to work. And one of the things that we had to do was we had to weed out all of the plants. So one of the things that I tried to do to just make life easier was I would try not to bend over too far and just kind of pull the weeds and you kind of break them off at the ground level. And that would work. I could get the job done a lot faster if I would just break the weeds off at the ground level rather than trying to dig them up out of the ground and pull them out and make sure I got the root out and all that. You know what the problem with that is, though? The weeds keep coming back. If you don't pull them out by the root, they keep coming back. Now, this is important. Jesus will actually say some pretty crazy things. Things that sound really crazy to us in the Gospel of Luke to people. Like there was a rich man who was a ruler, who was wealthy, very rich. He came to Jesus and he said, I've done all the commandments all my life. What else do I need to do to enter in the kingdom of heaven? You remember what Jesus said? One thing you lack. Go sell all you have. Pull it out by the root. Get rid of your greed by the root. And then you can come follow me. Why would Jesus say that? Well, he could have said, you know, you could just go give a little bit and then come follow me. But Jesus saw this person's heart. And underneath the guise of spirituality and religiosity was a man who idolized his wealth. And Jesus told him, if you're going to come follow me, you've got to give it up. You've got to pull it out by the root. You've got to let go of it. You've got to choose to give up everything to follow me. And I want you to think about today. Are there things that you're worried about? Are there things that you're just constantly stressing over? I want to tell you, if you are constantly stressing, constantly worrying about something, be careful. It could be that you found an idol in your heart. I want you to think about your wealth. How important is that to you? Are you? Can you easily give it away? Can you easily share it when someone's in need? Is it easy for you to let go of what you have and give it to others? Or is it like pulling teeth to get you to share with other people? The more you have, the harder it is to be a learner. Or maybe it's just pleasures. Maybe you're just so caught up in the fun things that life has to offer for wealthy people. It is a fun world to live in. Lexington is a fun city to be in. There's always something going on. There's always a game or there is something exciting to do. Always a festival. Always something fun going on. And sometimes we can get so caught up in the pleasures of life that we don't have time. We can't find the time to actually get in the Word of God. We can't find the time to really meditate on Jesus and on what He's trying to teach us. And I want to tell you, the thorny soil is no better than the other two. The thorny soil is just as fruitful as the other two. It's fruitless. And it's possible for us to grow up in church, be in church every Sunday, be together with the people of God all the time. We may appear to be part of the vine, part of God's faithful family, but really we're being choked out by the worries and the riches and the pleasures of life that are keeping us from truly learning as we ought to learn and becoming like Jesus. I need to be careful about this. I need to be watchful. Jesus says, be on guard. And watch out for every form of greed. There's a lot of things in our hearts that can pull us away from the teacher. And I ought to have time set aside regularly for reflection, for self-examination, to ask myself, is there something pulling my heart away from the teacher? Or am I devoted to learning from the teacher day by day? Well, let's end with this. What is the key to learning as Jesus gives it? He says it's an honest and good heart. I love this. As for that in the good soil, they are those who are hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. I love this. An honest and good heart. An honest and good heart is a person who's always opening God's word, not first to show other people what they need to see and hear, but first to learn, what do I need to see and hear? What changes do I need to make? And I just say this, for those of you who are teachers, this is very important to learn. We are learners first, teachers second. One of the things that has brought many, many people to the Bible studies that we do in Brooklyn is taking that approach. When we do group Bible studies in Brooklyn, one of the most important things that I think has developed credibility with the community around us is that when we come together, we have a facilitator who leads those discussions, but we try to approach that in a way where we are all learning together and we are sharing the things that we learn together. That is, it's not just an instructor informing, but it's all of us coming together and learning and working to develop honest and good hearts and confessing where we've fallen short and working to repent of that and to change and asking for prayers that God would help us to do that. I want to tell you, that's the key to being a disciple, to being a learner, is having an honest and good heart. There's another part to this too, though. You can have an honest and good heart and, in a sense, in what may appear to be an honest and good heart, where you're hearing and you're receiving and you're confessing and you're saying, yeah, I want to change that and I want to obey that. But there's a second part to this, which is holding it fast. That is, or bearing fruit with perseverance. That is, it's one thing to read something and understand it. It's another thing to live it out on a day-to-day basis, to endure day by day, to hold fast to that word and say, I'm not just going to obey it once. I'm going to obey this day by day. I'm going to let my life become a lifestyle of obedience. And if we're going to be healthy disciples, We must become learners. Learners who have an honest and good heart. Learners who hold fast to everything that Jesus says. And learners who seek to practice what we learn with perseverance, enduring till the end. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you for Jesus, our great teacher. Teach us, Father, to become learners, lifelong learners, students of Jesus. Help us for all the things that we study. Many of them are so trivial. But Lord, help us to first and foremost study Jesus, to make him the center of our life. Help us, Lord, to learn from him. And may we learn to walk in your ways. It's through Jesus we pray.